Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW Studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is Minneapolis, Minnesota-based musician Mary Bew. Bew's latest album is The Wilderness of Living and Dying. After she survived a carjacking in 2020, she began working on the songs that comprise this new release, focusing on growth and ultimately transformation. We discuss the process of making this new album, the emotional arc of the record, and her continued musical growth on this episode of Into Music, coming up now. Where does a record usually start for you, and did this one kind of start in the usual way?
This is my ninth record that I'm, so I put my first one out. I put the first one out when in year 2000, so I was like 19 years old, and a lot of those songs I wrote when I was like 16, 17, so it's very raw, and like everything sounds the same. It's 14 songs, it's like 75 minutes long, like, so it's just like a little much, very raw, but I got it out there, you know. Since then, I've been a little more like, having gotten over that first one, now it's more calculated in a way. But this one was different because the songs were all written in the same chunk of time over the last 2020 to 2023. Whereas other ones, sometimes I'm pulling from songs that are 10 years old, 15 years old, that are just sitting there, haven't found a home yet. And it's a little more eclectic collections. And this one has a cohesiveness of the time frame. So yeah, it was a different process. Yeah. And I'm working with a producer, the same one who I worked with on the last record, and the same band. So there's like a cohesion in the sound from the last record. Before, they were mostly self-produced and brought in different musicians and kind of dabbled in other sounds. But this is more like a fully formed scenario, I guess. Steve Price, he's in the suburbs, like super rad, Rex Daisy, and he's in a fun band called Trailer Trash here. And he's just a brilliant, he's a professor of engineering or an instructor of engineering. And yeah, very like, kind of like my therapist with all these songs.
Working with Steve twice, there had to be something rewarding about that relationship. So
yeah, he's so sweet. He's like down to earth and funny and welcoming and just like a gregarious host, but like in a very soft, relaxed way. So I really trust him with the songs, and there's a comfort level that, you know, I'm like, he's got a home studio. He's renovated his garage. So it's like very close quarters in the vocal. There's not like a vocal booth separation. Like I was just like singing. He's got a skylight with the microphone below the skylight, so you're kind of staring out into the trees. But he's sitting right there, like right next to me. So I had to feel very, it took a while to feel comfortable, but I got there with the first record. Yeah. So yeah, I would say he's just, that his presence is calming, and we talked through the topics, and yeah, he's a good one.
it's interesting because that's been something that's come up quite a bit lately in the conversations I've been having with people, which is that finding the right people to kind of share your art with and having that trust, because you can have people that like you, for lack of a better term, you vibe with, they're fine, but it's different when you try to create art together.
I've had a lot of different band formations, and like some of them have, let's just say like a Fleetwood Mac scenario, you know, some have blown apart in like crazy ways. And then I had a manager who kind of curated this band, this recent band. He said, I love everyone I've played with so much, and I honor them. And also like, he wanted a level of professionalism with the new records. So yeah, that was challenging because I had been working with friends before where I felt like sometimes I couldn't really say exactly what I wanted because I didn't want to offend people. And then with this more this new configuration. It's been like a likeness of sound, and kind of we all kind of feel into what the song needs to be shaped like. It's fascinating. Yeah, there's a lot of trust there. But it is terrifying because the songs, they can go in so many different directions. But I feel like a kinship with everybody. So I feel lucky.
Yeah, because that could be delicate, right? Like you mm-hmm. might be working with, say, a friend, and they might be, you know, adding a part that you don't like. And sometimes it can be different to, it can be hard to understand the difference between I don't like that part and I don't like you.
Right. I know. Yeah. Like the person, we're all, many artists, the majority are, and people in the world, sensitive, so sensitive. I'm like extremely sensitive. So it's hard not to take everything personally. And yeah. Yeah. I'm like a crier. Like if conflict comes, I cry. I'm getting better, but.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm curious too about this thing. You know, you said you started making records at what, 19?
Mm-hmm.
And when did it kind of click for you, where you're like, oh, this is what it, you know, because you kind of described it, I think, where it's just like early on, it's just like, here it is.
Yep. Oh, wow. Yeah, I think probably 2007. So I play piano. That's my main instrument. And the songs have, like, my early songs are pretty stream of consciousness, poetry. And I wouldn't do much like culling or shaping or producing per se. They would just be like, here's the song. This is what it is. This is how it is. It's like, no, and we're adding on to it. And then around, I think 2007, so it would have been my fourth or fifth record. It's called Boat with No Oars. And I brought in some guitar. Like the songs just started taking different, like with piano and with guitar, they have different personalities. I think songs, you could try a song on piano and then try it on guitar and it'll have take a different route, shape. So I dappled both of those in, and there was more of a story and a cohesion that was building. And I just started to think about, I love a full album. I used to just take, I still try and do this, but it's so hard in the digital age where you get a full album and you sit down with the lyrics and just like pour over it and spend all this time like in the whole collection of songs. And I really love a full album that is like, has an arc to it, and the story's unfolding and you go through a journey with it. And yeah, so I think around 2007, I started to like get that idea that this is a journey. The songs are in the way they're set up in alignment is like a specific trajectory, and just being more intentional about that. Yeah, I love it. It's so fun. and hard. Cause it's like, what if the song is there, and where is that taking it, and the movement of the album? And yeah.
I wonder too, if in that process, there were things that you discovered that for some people or a different performer, they might've been perceived as deficits. Let's say like the tendency towards stream of consciousness might not work for somebody else, but it might be a real attribute for you. Did you discover things like that?
It was interesting because I put the first album out. I'm from a tiny town in Minnesota called Princeton, and not as tiny as like Copper Harbor, but you know, like 4,000 people. It's an hour northwest of the Twin Cities, and a lot of there's like, I grew up a mile away from the racetrack and a lot of farmers and like a cabinet factory, and you know, very like, yeah, a lot of jocks in my school, you know. And when I put that record out, it was right out of high school, and I was surprised because one of like the main jocks was like, said he goes to sleep to the album. Like it just like calmed him. And I was like, what, you know? And some people still tell me that's their favorite. So it's interesting, like it meant so much to me, but now I'm a little embarrassed by it, but like people still go to that like older stuff. And yeah, the more produced it's gotten, some people have fallen away in a way because they loved that rawness. It's interesting. But then, you know, it's that first album, that was almost 25 years ago. So we can't expect someone to be the same thing goddess. But now I'm like, I feel like I've lost your original question of the deficits. Yeah. So yeah, that ability to self edit and like withstand external like criticism and be able to be open to it in a way that like makes the thing better. Cause I have been fairly stubborn with what I want. And, so just like, and sensitive. So I just, I'm like, oh, do you think it sucks? You know, do you hate, is something wrong with me? You know, probably, of course, lots of things, but, but yeah, the, deficits. Yeah. One person's trash is another person's treasure, right?
I think that thing that you mentioned before too, about, you know, finding an arc, right. And then refining mm-hmm. that. So it's cohesive. That's really on display with this record, which has that kind of emotional. So tell me about the process of discovering that for this record in particular.
Side note, I'm a yoga instructor as well. And one of the, I think it's a, it might be a Stephen Covey quote, but my initial teacher said to always begin with the end in mind. So like when you are about to teach a class of yoga students, you want them to end in a state of like feeling more at ease and more comfortable and more like not as agitated and whatever you want, like, or more energized, if it, you know, whatever the goal is. And so I was thinking about this record and how, you know, it revolves around this traumatic experience I had and opened up to, I describe it as like a trauma portal. So for listeners who haven't heard the story yet, I was carjacked by two teenage girls right outside of my house where I'm sitting. I can see where we crashed into, like I'm looking out the window. So it was November 2020, thick of the pandemic, two girls walking down the middle of my street, like looking in distress, and they wanted a ride. And I finally accepted that I would give them a ride, like a mile, because they seemed cool. And then they turned on me and we had a big fight and crashed. Like I wrestled the girl and we crashed into my neighbor's garage. And and it was like that isolation time too of being in the pandemic and people couldn't even come over really to like be with me, or like there was so much fear around, and I, you know, obviously. And so it was November, people sitting in my yard and like just kind of being with me and then being alone that night and just like fortifying the house. And yeah, and like then, you know, anyway, the album, I call it like a trauma portal because it opened up, I think when someone's going through a traumatic experience, when people go through trauma, there's like things are weakened, like we're more vulnerable in a lot of ways to like, it takes a long time and maybe never to like fully heal and we're processing, and it's like a spiral of healing, you know? But like in that time, like I was more vulnerable to other traumatic things in a way. Like I was more open to, I got into an abusive relationship and it seemed really good at the first and it was like everything I was looking for. And then it was like kind of terrifying. And I feel like my like energy and my healing process wasn't super fortified from what had happened. So it just opened up all these other vulnerable places in my life and my heart and my brain. So the album kind of goes through like, you know, it starts with the title track, The Wildness of Living and Dying. And it's like a look at this world and the nature and like the power of nature and what can happen. We're all like slowly inching towards death. You know, we are all moving in the same direction. And, you know, the way of time is moving and like mortality, you know, and just kind of grappling with that. And then it moves into like moments of like everything right now, like you and I are talking right now and like a million, bazillion, trillion, I don't even know, things are happening in the world, you know, anything under the sun, sex, drugs, rock and roll, it's happening. Babies are being born, people are dying, like animals are fighting, you know, there's the seed is sprouting, people's gardening, eating food, whatever, it's all happening. And so then it kind of moves into like a like what happens after a disaster. I talk about the tarot cards, and there's a tarot card called the Tower, and it's like a big disaster. It's like a tower falling, like an empire crumbling, and there's like fire and war. And then the card that comes after that is the Star card, and the image on the card is a woman standing by a pool of water, and the sky is clear and all the stars, and it's like very peaceful, and like she's just like alone in nature. And so like after a disaster, it's like, what do you do now? It's like this sort of sense of openness and like the rubble and like what, how to make sense of this and like a little bit of peace and a little bit of like new and, but also like making sense and gathering and yeah. And then, you know, if there's that real loud one about the blood from a turnip, the one called Draw Blood. And my Steve was like, can you please not use the word turnip in a song? Like, who uses the word turnip in a song? But I was like, that is the thing. It's like, you can't draw blood from a turnip. And that's like getting into this thing where it's just like this sort of like really dark thing of like someone with no empathy. I feel like we're experiencing a lot of people. This album is kind of about empathy and like how can we cultivate empathy and compassion for people going through hard times? And like collectively, I feel like more and more a lack of empathy as we're getting like so removed with our screens and stuff. It's just like, there's no, like where it's almost like things are becoming dehumanized and desensitized to like the suffering. So yeah. But and then the end comes to like a peace with wanting to, well, a fear of not wanting to be in my home and wanting to sleep with the deer in the forest, because that would be like the sweetest if they would let me. But then also like an ask, like kind of a prayer of how can we hold space for people going through hard times, like allowing them to rest, allowing them to take their time to heal, allowing them to reach out when they need to, and trying to understand, like even though we can't fully understand another person's experience, but we can like be open and welcoming to it. So yeah, it's like the grappling with mortality, the like fear, anger, tower falling, recovery, sweetness, and like a prayer.
It's interesting. So in 2022, I lost my home in a fire, and I lost pets, you know, everything.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Thank you. And so, you know, that's one of those things, right? That's trauma. And then someplace in there, like you said, you know, that never goes away. That'll always be there. Mm-hmm. But at some point, I should speak for myself. At some point, my thinking started to change and I started to see things a lot differently. Like, I'm no longer tethered to all of these belongings that I had to take everywhere. Now that I'm going from a pair of slippers that a friend brought me from the, you know, convenience store or whatever, and a pair of pants that somebody just handed me, now I have a different perspective. The other thing that did for me too was that I became, I don't know, I know this is getting a little woo-woo, but I think I became more aware of the energy of people and the energy that they were putting out. It was like another sensitivity in a way. Did you experience that with the carjacking, for instance?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I'm here for the woo. just FYI. I love it. But yeah, I tend to lead. I tend to go into like when I'm meeting someone, I just like come in like kind of expecting that the best, you know, like I come in pretty trusting and like maybe naive in that way, even though I've gone through a lot of like betrayals and things, I like still come in like pretty trusting and open and hopeful and nice and maybe a little too nice. and then until I'm proven wrong. So, but I love that you said it was, you brought a like enhanced sensitivity because yeah, I mean, that is like the growing of compassion and also for yourself, because then you're like, wow, like I'm a little guarded. Like, what is that about? Like, is that, and then it's like, how much is the trauma and how much is like the intuition and like kind of like separating that is tricky. But yeah, I mean, it takes a long time to move through this stuff. So I, you know, got in that bad relationship and then got out of it. And then I was like, wow, I just like totally negated like the healing path in a way. Cause then I got into that other thing and then it's like pain on top of pain. And then, where do you go from there? So yeah, the self-trust and the heightened sensitivity. We're just all learning, you know, like I really want to trust people. I do. Like, I don't want to lose that. But I think learning about boundaries is super helpful. And like the fortifying, like, and maybe you feel this too of like, okay, like, I mean, definitely there's that fear, anxiety for me of like, could happen again? Like that already happened. Like what could happen next? You know, like, oh my God. But then it's like, wait, I already did that, already happened. This other stuff other already happened. And like, what could happen? What else? You know, maybe it's good. And maybe there's gonna be bad too. But like, how can we take care of ourselves to be in a stronger, more fortified place to be able to weather all the things? Yeah. So yeah, I'm the sensitivity, being open. Yeah. And just, yeah, the awareness. Yeah, it's greater awareness. And like, I think it's protective and helpful. Mm-hmm.
So in the end, what we wind up with is this record that I think is then for the listener has this emotional arc, and they might have gone through, it might be a breakup, might be a loss of a job, might be whatever, and then it can be of use to them through that process.
It's so interesting, like songwriting, like I don't ever try and write for people. Like it's, you know, I'm like, I'm not trying to like, I've never kind of tried to like be really poppy or like super like get it to, you know, the masses in this way. Like I just like write like what is coming out of me. And it's like, but in, you know, there are messages in it. And I had some people who had been also carjacked. Like there was just for a long time and still happening in Minneapolis and all over the country, rashes of carjackings. Like there were helicopters looking for people in Minneapolis getting carjacked for a while there, like in early 2021. Like they'd had helicopters watching, like it was insane. And it was often teenagers. And so I had a few people that went through that reach out to me because I was like pretty public about it, and almost to my detriment because I got a lot of judgment. People saying I was naive and like, who would do that? Like who would give a ride to strangers? And, you know, like, and I get it, but I'm like, they were like teenage girls and I've worked with teens and like, they seemed cool and I wanted them to like me, you know. It was just like, kind of, it was naive, but it was just, that's who I am, you know, in a lot of ways. So yeah, I think, yeah, these songs, if they support or help people through in any way, like music helps me all the time. So it really does. Yeah. I love sad music. That one song over and over, cry it out.
I'm Jed Bodwin, and you've been listening to a conversation with singer-songwriter Mary Bew. Her latest album is The Wilderness of Living and Dying. You can learn more about the album, as well as her work as a yoga teacher, retreat guide, and creative mentor at her official website, marybew.com. Bew, by the way, is spelled B-U-E. Our digital producers are Carly Cooper, Beth Golay, and Hugo Fan. Our theme music is composed and performed by Torin Anderson. You can learn more about this podcast and all of our programming at kmuw.org. We welcome your questions and comments at info@kmuw.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.